All right, good evening, brethren. Let's turn in our Bibles to John chapter 4. Many of you might have already know about Brother Jeff, but he fell today and hurt his ankle and cracked his fibula below his knee. So he's going to have some surgery, I think. So be in prayer for him as the Lord enables you. All right, John chapter 4. Now, our Lord Jesus, we ended last time, he begun speaking with this Samaritan woman at the well. He's come to give her spiritual life. He's going to quicken her and bring her to believe upon him. But right now, as he's speaking to her, she's focused only on temporal things, on carnal things. He says in verse 10, Jesus answered and said unto her, "If thou knewest the gift of God, who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water." And the woman said to him, "Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle?" Jesus answered and said unto her, "Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water, springing up into everlasting life." Our subject is spiritual life. Spiritual life. This living water that our Lord speaks of here is Christ himself. He's the fountain of living waters. And the living water is spiritual life. He's the life. When he regenerates us and brings us to believe upon him, That's what he means by drinking the water, believing upon him. Let me show you that. John chapter 7. He said, he stood there the last day and he said, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink." What's he mean by that? "He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." And so he tells this woman here, "The water I give, you'll drink, and you'll never thirst again." And that water is Christ. He's the life, and he gives spiritual life. He brings us to drink. He brings us to believe on him. And we're united with him, and he gives you grace and all the blessings that he has to give for his people. And he unites us with him, everlastingly united with him. Now, there's no spiritual life in us by nature. There's no spiritual life in anything in this world at all. The woman heard this and she was focused just on temporal things, just like we were before the Lord quickened you. You heard the gospel and all you thought about was physical, carnal, earthy things. And that's all she was focused on. But the Lord said to her in verse 13, he said, "Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again." She's focused on that well, focused on physical thirst, physical drinking. He said, "You drink this water, you're going to thirst again." And that's true of all things in this life. We're born the first time spiritually dead in sins, and there's no water, there's no life. And we can't produce it. We can't produce life. We can't do anything to give ourselves spiritual life. "And whosoever drinks of this water shall thirst again. That which is born of flesh is flesh. And everything in this sin-cursed world will leave us thirsting again." In your time, you go sometime and read Ecclesiastes 2 and look at all the things Solomon tried. I mean, everything that could be named. And it all left him thirsty. And he said, "I've seen all the works that are done under the sun." All the works that are done under the sun. He tried everything. And he said, "Behold, all is vanity." and vexation of spirit. The well of earthly carnal knowledge. It's good to get an earthly education, but some people devote their lives to trying to learn more and learn more and learn more. Scripture says, of making many books there is no end, and much study is a weariness of the flesh. It just leaves you thirsty. The well of ambition. People start out and they go after a career and they move up the ladder, and with each rung, thirsting for the next rung, and keep going till you get all that you can get and get as high as you can get, and you're still left thirsty. No spiritual life, no spiritual benefit. Every earthly pleasure is a well that's dry. May give you some temporary pleasure, but it won't be very long and you'll be thirsty again. There'll be no lasting benefit from it. The well of riches, that's an enticing well that everybody wants to drink from, the well of riches. Scripture says, wilt thou set thine eyes upon that which is not? That's how God refers to riches. Set your eyes upon that which is not, for riches certainly make themselves wings. They fly away as an eagle toward heaven. The well of man-made religion and form and ceremony. Folks will make a profession of faith, and it's outward. It's just in the form. And it doesn't satisfy. They try to do works and have to do more works and keep doing works because you're never satisfied. You never, conscience is never cleared. You have to keep doing more and more and more. Some people make a profession of faith, even in true religion, and it's in the form. They're trying to drink from the outward means. And the things that we do whereby God feeds us, but this is not the life. This won't quench the thirst. If this is all we have, that won't quench the man's thirst. And sooner or later, they're off to something else. Even the well of health. We try to take care of our bodies and try to eat well and be strong. And Willie Boy and I have been working out the past few nights, and I'm so sore I can't even lift my arms above my head. Try to keep our health, but that's a dry well. It won't satisfy. Eventually, we're going to wither. All flesh is grass, and the goodliness thereof is as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof fadeth away. So no earthly well gives any spiritual life. It gives no satisfaction whatsoever. He said, whosoever drinketh this water shall thirst again. The psalmist said, verily, every man at his best state is altogether vanity. Well, from whence comes this living water? Where do you get this living water? Well, our Lord said, it's a gift. It's a gift that he gives. He said there in verse 14, whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. The water that I shall give him. Spiritual life is the free gift of God. It's the free gift of God. And it's Christ who has been given the glory to give it to his people. Life is of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And he's given Christ the glory of giving this life to his people in this day. We don't possess it as we come into this world. We can't obtain it by our wisdom. You can't study yourself into this spiritual life. We can't obtain it by our will. You can't do A, B, and C and have spiritual life. None of our works can cause us to obtain it. And it's not for sale. Spiritual life's not for sale. We can't merit it. We can't earn it. You remember, look over at Isaiah 55. The Lord said, in verse 1, ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. Come ye to the waters. He that hath no money, come ye buy and eat. See, this is a paradox to a natural man. Come without money and buy means it's free. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread? And your labor for that which satisfieth not. Hearken diligently unto me. Eat ye that which is good. Let your soul delight itself in fatness. What's he mean by all that? Incline your ear and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live. And I'll make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. It's the free gift given by God. She said, where's your rope? Where's your bucket? This well's deep. He didn't need her rope. He didn't need her bucket. He don't need our rope and our bucket either. Christ is the well of salvation. He's the well of salvation. He gives eternal life, the living water, and he gives it freely, and he gives it to whomsoever he will. God gives life to whomsoever he will. Christ says, it's water that I shall give. Now, think about this. God doesn't owe us anything. He doesn't owe you and me anything. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. He wasn't obligated to give us anything, to give us life. But thank God he freely chose a people by his grace. That means there was nothing foreseen in us that made him choose us. It would have been merit if that would have been the case. It was a free gift. He chose his people freely by grace. He would have a people to serve him and honor him and worship him and give him all the glory. And so how does this salvation have to begin? It has to begin with God choosing whomsoever he will and doing it by his free and sovereign grace. And he chose a people in Christ. And that's why his people, those that have drank of this water of life and who have this spiritual life, you don't hear them taking glory for this. You don't hear them saying it was by our rope and our bucket that we got this water. You hear his people giving him all the glory because he chose us. If he hadn't have chosen his people, we wouldn't have chosen him. This is all of him, and he gets the glory, and his people give him that glory. And you think about the price that had to be paid for this water of life to be free to us. I had a teacher that used to always say, nothing in life's free. If you get it free, somebody paid for it. And that's so. And if you get this water free, it's because somebody else paid a price for it. And our Lord Jesus paid the price. Our Lord Jesus, the Son of God, came down and took flesh to live the life his people couldn't live. He came down and made himself to be one with our flesh without sin, to be made under the law he gave, and to live under that law, that very law he gave, and go to the cross to pay his own justice and satisfy his own justice, what we owed him. That's grace. To come and pay the debt we owed. He himself, that we owed, came and paid the debt we owed to him. To satisfy his own justice for it. To bring in and provide the righteousness he requires, he provided it for us. And he did this for all those the Father gave to him. And so having fulfilled that law, having brought in his everlasting righteousness, he did it for his particular people. So he's got the glory from his throne right now to send life to us, to each of his own. He came to this lady. She didn't come to him. He came to her. And he came to give her life. And right now, she's sitting there just thinking of physical, temporal, carnal life. That's all she's thinking about. And he come to give her life. Just think about that, brethren. At some point, the Lord crossed your path with the gospel, and you didn't realize just that first hour you turned on a sermon or you went sat under the gospel or however he brought the gospel to you. And that first hour, you never knew that Christ had come to give you life. Just like he came to this woman right here. And he come and gave you life before you ever really knew he gave you life. You just knew you started being thirsty. And that's what he came to do. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God, the free gift of God, is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Christ has this living water, and he is this living water because he's God. He's God of very God. His accomplished redemption is eternal. The life he gives is everlasting, eternal life, because he is eternal life. And he's qualified to do this because he is Jesus Christ. That means the Savior anointed by God the Father. That's his office. He's the Savior, and his qualification is he was anointed. He's the Christ, anointed by God the Father to come and do this work for his people. So God gets all the glory. The Lord said, as thou, he's praying to the Father in John 17, and he said, as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. So he has the glory. And since he finished this work, he's got all things that we need are him and in him to give as a free gift to each one for whom he purchased it. The psalmist said in Psalm 68:18, thou hast ascended on high. Thou hast led captivity captive. Thou hast received gifts for men. Yea, for the rebellious also, that the Lord God might dwell among them. But we see, when you hear this, and you that know him and have been given this spiritual water, you've been given this life, you rejoice in it. You're delighted in it. And it's how you're not thirsting. He's made you to drink, and he's quenching your thirst right now with it. But here's the deadness of our flesh. Folks hear this. We see the depravity of man in that when folks hear this message, they get angry that God gives life to whosoever he will rather than giving it to everybody. That's our spiritual depravity, to hate the message of a free gift of life simply because God doesn't give it to everybody. He said, is it not lawful for me to do what I will with mine own? Is thine eye evil because I'm good? What goodness for God to give life to some. He didn't have to give life to any. Is there unrighteousness with God? God forbid. He said to Moses, I'll have mercy on whom I will have mercy. I'll have compassion on whom I will have compassion. And on whom I will, I'll harden. I'll leave them to themselves. So it's not of him that willeth, it's not of him that runneth, it's of God that shows mercy. That's nothing to argue about. That's not calling, we don't want to call God unrighteous for giving life. That's a blessing. Now look at this next thing here. This water Christ gives makes us never thirst because it's life. It's life within us, personally. And it's continually springing up. It's everlasting life. Look at verse 14. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. True spiritual life that's given by Christ is within us. The true spiritual life's within us. This is where true life is. It's within. He said, the water that I shall give him shall be in him. The Holy Spirit enters and Christ is formed in us. And when he's formed in us, the life is within us in spirit. His living word that lives and abides forever is in his child. It's in his child. Don't you like the simplicity with which Christ declares this? There's nothing deep to grasp at here. He's simply declaring in simplest terms how he gives life and comparing it to water, something we can understand, to thirst, something we can understand. Now think what a good illustration drinking water is to believe in Christ. You don't do anything to drink water. You just receive it. And that's what he's saying. He that receives me, he has the Spirit in him. He has life within him. And it'll be in him. He never takes it from us. He gives you life, and he never takes it. He gives you the Spirit. He never takes it. The water that I shall give him shall be in him. He said in Isaiah 41:18, I will open rivers in high places and fountains in the midst of the valleys. I will make the wilderness a pool of water and the dry land springs of water. He said, he that believes on me, out of his belly will flow rivers of living water. It gives you life within. And this life of Christ within us, when he's formed in you, this is why Paul over there was saying to the Galatians, I'm travailing till Christ be formed in you. It's because it's Christ formed in us. And when he's formed within us, it's as a well of water springing up. There's a spring near my home back in Arkansas, and it's just a little small hole in the ground, but generation after generation after generation have drank from that spring. That spring's been bubbling up since I was a little child, and it's still bubbling up. And that's the metaphor here. This life he gives is a never-ending spring, a never-ending fountain springing up, because it's from Christ's fullness. Of his fullness have we all received. It's of his fullness. We're inseparably united with Christ. When we've been born of him, and get this now, believer, you're inseparably united with him. Nothing's going to sever this union. Nothing. We're inseparably united with Christ. He said in John 17:23, I in them, and thou, Father, in me, that they may be made perfect in one. One in his righteousness, one in his holiness, made perfect in one. By this union with Christ, perfect in one. One in Christ, perfect in Christ. That's the life we're talking about, an inseparable union. And so this living water never runs dry. This life never ceases to be life. We never cease to have life. It's continually a spring ever flowing out of his fullness. He said the parched ground shall become a pool and the thirsty land springs of water. And he gives you this fountain of life. When he abounds towards us with grace, it comes from his fullness, and his fullness is never diminished. He has all fullness in him to give to us, to keep giving to us, and keep giving to us, and sustaining us, and he's not diminished in the least bit. The cold of a trial can't freeze up this spring. It can't freeze it up. It's ever springing up. The burning heat of the reproach of this world and other things you suffer, it can't dry it up. His life is ever in his people. He gives grace upon grace. He gives more grace. And he gives grace for grace. He continually, it's a springing up of everlasting life. And when he does this, this is when we truly, from this new spirit, truly cast all our care on him. Really cast all our care on it. It's when we truly pray. It's when we truly come to him and confess our sins to him and confess what we are. It's when we truly, truly worship him in spirit and in truth and walk after him from a heart that wants to please him. This is when we have true life, is when he's done this work. And this water that he gives us, brethren, that he's speaking here of as water, this life is everlasting life. He said there, it's a well of water springing up into everlasting life. He said, whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. You believe that? Whosoever liveth, he gives you life. And he said, whosoever believeth on me, he makes you to drink. Believe on him. Whosoever liveth by him, by his spirit, and believeth, shall never die. That tells us something about who the real man is in a believer. It's not the flesh. The flesh is going to go back to the dust. It must go back to the dust. It is dust. But you won't ever die, believer. The life that he created in us in regeneration, the spirit he gave you in regeneration, is the same life you're going to have for eternity. You have it right now. The only difference is you're going to drop this body of death and he's going to raise you with a new glorified body without sin so you can worship him without the hindrance of carrying around this dead body. But you have the life in you, Christ formed in you, is the everlasting spirit, the everlasting life. Nothing will have to be done to it. Nothing will have to be amended. Nothing will have to be altered. It is that holiness without which no man will see the Lord. You have it right now. And when you die, when you drop this body of death, you haven't died. It's everlasting life. And you enter into glory with him. Isn't that good news? Isn't that when you get sick and he dries up this well of our flesh, that's what gives you peace, knowing I'm not about to die. I'm not about to die. You know, Brother Don used to talk about we ought to live our lives on the tiptoe of faith. And I talked to him 2 days before he left this body. And he was like a ballerina. I've never heard anybody so eager to depart. I mean, it's knowing all I'm doing is changing clothes. I'm just taking off this outer garment. It's all. We have the everlasting life. And this is life eternal. This is it. This is life eternal. That they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. Now let's apply this. If there's anybody here that's like this woman, and he's revealed himself to you, he's taught you something of who he is, something of what you are, and he's made you thirsty for this living water. He said, he told this one, if you knew who it is that's talking to you, do you know him? Have you heard him speak? Has he revealed himself to you? He said, if you knew him, you'd ask him. He's going to have us ask him. And he would give you this everlasting water. Freely give it to you. If he's made you know him, to know that he's life and that you're only sin. You're just a dry well and he's the living waters. If he's made you know he's life, made you thirsty. You're thirsty for mercy. You're not wanting to merit anything anymore. You're not wanting to earn anything anymore. You got nothing in your hand. You just need mercy. Mercy is for the undeserved. Those that don't deserve it are asking mercy. If you're hungry and thirsty for his righteousness to be your righteousness, for his works to be your works and to make you righteous and accepted with God. He says, come and ask. Freely ask. Just come without any price, without anything in your hand, and ask him. And he's never, every true sinner that comes to him seeking mercy from him, he gives them mercy. He said, I freely give it to you. Freely give it to you. I pray that would be the case. I pray somebody here, he'd make hear him for the first time and know him and come to him. Call on him. You don't have to move a finger. You don't have to move a toe. He said, hear me. Incline your ear to me. Believe on me in your heart. Call out to me in spirit and in truth. And he said, he'll give you life. If you can do that, he's already done it. And for us who he's given this water of life, Christ said, he that believeth on me shall never thirst. God's going to keep us knowing that Christ alone is our life. He's going to keep us knowing that. We have a sin nature, and so we get to being a little too fond of these earthly, carnal, temporal, dry wells. And there's a lot of them. There's a lot of them. We live in a land full of them. And we get to being a little too fond of these earthly wells. And so what does he do? Our sovereign God just dries them up. He just dries them up. And what happens? We get shaken. We get shaken by it. And you know what that teaches us? That teaches us just how much we were putting confidence in the outward, in the form, in something earthy. But when he does that, by his spirit, he springs up within you in spirit and makes you know he himself is your life. One of the best words I heard all year was at a time when I really, really needed it. Somebody sent me a message and said, Christ is your life. Christ is your life. Nothing else. Christ is your life. And that came like this fountain, like this springing up into everlasting life is how the Lord blessed it. And I needed it. And that's what he's doing in all of these different circumstances he puts you in. He's showing you, don't put confidence in the dry wells. You'll thirst again. But he makes you remember, he's your life. He's your life. His word is the living word that abides forever within his people. His spirit is within you and will never be taken from you. And when he does that, he says, therefore, with joy shall you draw water out of the wells of salvation. And you do. You start drawing water out of the wells of salvation. The word opens up to you again. It's altogether new. All over again. And he continually renews you inwardly so that you say from a true heart, whom have I in heaven but thee? And there's none upon earth I desire beside thee. My flesh and my heart faileth, but God's the strength of my heart. He's my portion forever. That's where he's going to keep his people. We have to be kept there. And when he works this for us, as painful as it is when you're going through it, after you've gone through it, you say, thou hast satisfied my mouth with good things, so that my youth is renewed as the eagles. And this he'll keep doing, because this life is everlasting. He never, ever takes it from us. I pray he'll bless that to you, brethren. Our Father, we thank you for this word. Father, we thank you that you are the life, the everlasting life. Lord, make us to have this living water springing up within us. Make Christ to be our all, our only life. Lord, we pray that you would bless this to the heart of one of your lost sheep and help them to behold you and come to you and drink freely of this water. Lord, we thank you that you keep us. We thank you that you continually nourish us and continually keep us looking to Christ alone, walking after him. Lord, be with our brethren that are in trial and are having difficulties, and Lord, renew them with a right spirit and help to look beyond these dry wells and look above to Christ where our life is. Lord, renew in us the life and make us to truly, truly worship you. Bless the afflictions to us and sanctify them, and sanctify yourself in our hearts and make us look up to you and know that you alone are life. Lord, forgive us looking to earthy things and trying to quench our thirst with these earthly things, and help us, Lord, to always look to you. Thank you, Father, for not forsaking us. Thank you that for Christ's sake you forgive us continually, that you keep us tenderhearted and keep us thirsting for you and keep quenching that thirst for us. We ask it now in Christ's name, our living water. Thank you for all things we have in him. Amen. All right, Brother Greg.